Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. Please do take note that all opinions and recommendations and encouragements that are shared on this podcast are my personal opinion or the opinion of the guests that I have on. It is not to be taken as medical or mental health advice. Please do consult your medical professional or your mental health professional with any questions or changes that you would like to make regarding your own personal situation. Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. I never take it for granted that you lend your time and your ear to the show. It means the world to me and this company, successfuldiligence.com/contact, to send your thoughts and feedback, or you can click the link in the show notes to send a voicemail. I love when you guys send me voicemails. It is the most fun thing. You can also go to Successful Diligence on Instagram and follow us there. We are very interactive on that page as well. And I'm just so glad you're here. And the reason that I bring you quality human beings and conversations is because you are that valuable. And today I've got a very special guest with me. His name is Christopher L. Edwards Sr. And I say the whole name because he is that dope. He has worked in the finance industry with several national and leading industry banking institutions since 2002. So he knows money stuff, y'all. He has managed and trained teams, and he transitioned out of that industry due to very severe health issues, specifically kidney failure, which was life-threatening, y'all. And he had to adapt to a new season of life. And to do that, Chris had to draw significantly on the foundation of faith that he acquired in 1996. Now, he's been a minister of music, a worship pastor, as well as a consistent encourager within the church setting, as well as outside the church setting. Let's just be real. He encourages every single person he ever comes in contact with. And I've known him, y'all, since high school, since middle school. So I'm just saying, he is an encourager to his bones. Now, he also is a tremendous vocalist. He released his first CD called No More Glass Ceilings, which hashtag is available on iTunes. I encourage you to go download it. That came out in 2010, but it is still so significant and so encouraging. I actually have listened to it recently, and it's been very, very uplifting. He is also the CEO and founder of several ministries, as well as Empowerment. M as in Michelle, Powerment Unlimited, where he offers individual and group coaching, an uplifting podcast called The Vibe, which he co-hosts with his amazing wife, who I've also known since high school. They've been married for 25 years, you all, so they have a lot of insight about what makes a marriage work. And Lady Doreen Edwards, together, they fill the world with living, laughing, loving, and learning. Chris Edwards, welcome to the show.
Michelle Perry, hello, hello, hello. How are you? I'm excited to be here. I don't normally get nervous. I'm a little nervous, but this is amazing. I've done a couple podcasts, but I'm going to let everybody know that Michelle is so official that, you know, she put me on my nerves today. So I'm just excited to be here. Thank you for having me, Michelle.
Oh my goodness. Chris, it is such an honor to introduce you to my audience. I'm so excited for them to get to know you, to hear your voice, and to be encouraged and uplifted. We're going to get into some really interesting conversation today, but before we get into the meat of things, right? For my audience who has not heard of you, which might be a few, I'm sure a couple who know you because you've been out there for a while encouraging. But for those who are not familiar with you, give us a little bit of insight about who you are and your journey up until now.
So I've been married for 25 years. She's the love of my life. I don't deserve her. She's everything to me. We have a son. We have adopted son and daughter. We have five grandchildren. I was in finance for 20 years. kidneys failed me, so I had to stop working. I tried to go back, but that didn't work out. And I found myself in a low place. And if it was not for my faith, I don't know where I'd be. But what I've learned, and from 2018, I've had to have three fingers amputated. But what I've learned is you don't have to stop just because life happens. And life has happened to me. Life has happened to my wife. Life has happened to my family. Life don't stop because we're not supposed to stop. So my objective is to help people to keep going. I'm learning now, even as I grow. I've coached for business. I've coached for worship teams. But I'm learning now that I have an ability to push people past procrastination. You can't have pity and purpose on the same highway.
Oh, let me stop you right there. You cannot have pity and purpose on the same highway. Now, listeners, you know, I'm always using the metaphor of being on the highway, the right highway in the right car with the right people, right? So I love the alignment of that statement. Pity and purpose cannot be on the same highway. Chris, I want to dig deep with you because you are such an encourager. You are always laughing, living, loving, right? Learning. That's who you are. And I know that when your kidneys failed and when you had to give up your professional life in the finance industry, I know that it hit you as a person, as a man, as a husband, as a Black man, as a human being, right? Talk to me about the journey down and then what it was that helped you come out of that.
It was funny. I used to tell my wife I would never go into pastoring full time. The only way that I would go into pastoring full time is if God showed up in a headband and a pair of Nikes. Well, in July of 2012, he showed up in a headband and a pair of Nikes. And I tried my best to, you know, I tried to declare and decree. But this was something that I had to go through. You know, if we're dealing with certain biblical topics, Jesus said, I must need to go through Samaria. He had to go through there because if he didn't, he would have never met the woman with the issue of blood. And so there was some stops that I had to make. And it was difficult because every time I thought I was making a little leeway, something else would happen. And it had a lot to do with my humility. I had to find out who I really was. And in my industry, I just told my wife the other week, when I was in finance, I spent so much time trying to prove that I fit in, that I never really put in the success that I could have put into it. I never put in the work that I could put into it. So I was just proving that I belong. I was wearing the suits. I was wearing the shirts. And I just wasn't really giving what I could give as a manager, as an influencer. And so having took that dive, losing about 80% of my income, two disabled people in a household. I think the first year that I was disabled, my son was graduating from high school. That was difficult, you know, and so it was my faith, you know, and I had people around me that loved me. Then, you know, you also find out who doesn't. And so your responsibility is to really find out in these dark places. Dark places help you understand why you're here. If you don't commit suicide and you don't give up, you begin to realize, God begins to reveal to you in dark places who you really are. When David beat Goliath, he beat Goliath in a valley. We don't talk about that much. And David had to go down to that valley by himself. Everybody else that was cheering was up on the mountain. They had to go to a valley called Succoth, and that's where Goliath was, challenging him, throwing nasty slurs. And so a lot of times when we go through these things, we have to go down by ourselves just so God can show the absolute strength that he's given us. And that's what I gathered in my low place. That's what I gathered that I have to give to people in my low place.
Yeah. You know, one thing I've noticed in researching, studying, and living out success and whatever success means to you and to others, you know, listeners, we talk about success all the time on the show, right? But when you talk to people who come out the other side and are actually successful, whatever definition that is for them, they always have a story of a dark place and also of an unlayering, which you're talking about, where you are discovering the core of who you really are, you know, past the pride, past the people pleasing, past the exterior, you know, what people see, but who you really are, because that's what matters in life. And if it, well, if you want to have a life of impact, that's what matters, because people look for the authentic, unapologetic truth of who you really are. And that's what everyone has uniquely. It's like your fingerprint, right? God created us all uniquely with something specific to offer the world. And until we discover that, we can't offer it to the world. So I think it's incredible that it took that dark valley that you were talking about for you to come to that realization. And I don't want to underestimate the darkness of your valley. I know your story, and I won't put you out there on blast, but it got very, very dark. And when I tell you that Chris's faith is very, very real, because some people talk about faith and it's very surface level. When Chris shares on his Facebook Lives, when he shares on his podcast, when he shares in the different arenas that he is showing up, he's also a public speaker. He really gives you strategic, practical insight about how to come out of those really, really dark places. And so, Chris, what I'd love for you to share with the audience, what are some strategies that you used to come out of that darkness? Yes, the faith was the first one, a foundational, absolutely must have. What other things helped you come out to keep walking in life?
I had to be willing to be confrontational. With myself, about myself, about the people that I love and about the people that I've hurt.
Wait, that's a big one. Let me pause right there, because we gotta say la means to pause and think on this. So let's say la for a minute, because you just said something very powerful. Huh?
Say la?
Say la, yes.
You have the Jewish background, so I know I know how to say it now, because that's yes.
Selah. Because what you said right there was gold. You said that you had to learn how to be confrontational with yourself and with others. And for me, what I draw from that is you had to tell the truth to yourself about who you really are, accepting it, flaws and all. And it's not easy to look at yourself in the mirror and see the truth, because sometimes it's messy and it's not pretty. And then when you have to then show up in truth to other people, like you said, it can be confrontational and other people may not be ready for it. So talk to me about that. As you were shifting into truth, right? And showing up in life more authentically, unapologetically as you, how did people take that? Because people were used to, you know, laughing Chris. So how did people receive you and take that?
I had to learn that it's not a doctor's job to take care of the patient. It's the doctor's job to partner with the patient to ensure that they'll have good health. And in order for a doctor to be really effective, he can't care about how you feel. He has to care about what he's able to do. And I had to, one thing I love about truth, when you confront truth and you accept truth, God will use truth to form a shield around you so that you can continue to be honest. And I believe that's what he did, because I had to deal with a lot of stuff, and, you know, without getting too deep, 2015, finding out who my biological parents were. They were 15 minutes away from me my whole life. Meeting my biological mom, met my family, then we went up to meet them. But then there was some really, the thing that I feared the most, and this was my darkest point. And if I'm talking too much, Michelle, let me know. My darkest point was when my biological sister brought my mom, 2 days after we met, she brought my mom to her attorney to make sure that I wasn't getting anything out of her will.
I didn't
there was no need for that.
Wow.
Then after my biological mom passes, they start sending me paperwork, just verifying. I didn't need to see that. I didn't even get a chance to grieve. But my greatest fear in the last part of that confrontation before I started coming out of the dark was overcoming rejection. And I say that to your point, when you're really trying to confront those things in your life that you have to overcome, you got to turn a deaf ear to the loudest noises so that you can hear God and you can grow. Now, I'm not saying that that's easy, but what I am saying is that step is necessary and worth it. You have to be willing to turn a deaf ear, because that almost crushed me. That was my worst fear. I thought I was going to have the Antoine Fisher, you know, story. When they saw me, they was going to make pancakes, and I was going to meet all my cousins, and, you know, and I had part of it, but I did that other part drove me. It almost drove me insane.
Yeah, rejection is hard, and it's challenging. And it can be soul crushing. I've been through conquering rejection myself, and it's a process. It's a journey. And I know for me, writing was an outlet. Were there things that you put in place to encourage yourself when you were not finding that encouragement from the outside in?
I had to become vocal. You know, I wanted to be a guy. I wanted to handle everything myself. But it started impacting my mental health. So I started seeing a therapist. When we moved to Johnson City, the therapist that I found, or that I was assigned to, is absolutely amazing. You've known me. I'm charismatic. I can get shot, and you would never know it by telling a joke. But this lady was able to see through all that, and she really dug to the core of what was bothering me, who I am, what I'm supposed to be doing, I attribute it. I thank God for her. I thank God for my wife. I've learned that every time when you're married, you go through different levels. And I've reached that level in our marriage where I can be absolutely vulnerable in front of my wife. And it's not that I couldn't have before. You're not saying that. I cry in church, and I cry if someone really close to me dies.
Yeah, men are different. Men are different. And I want to say I honor you for sharing that, because I do have a lot more men that are listening to the show. And so I want to really just highlight that you took the risk to yourself, right? Because for men, it's hard to be humble and ask for help, number one. And number two, to actually go to a professional for therapeutic services. Mm-hmm. And there's no shame in that, because it's very, very helpful. I used to be a clinician, and I just want to honor you for sharing that part. I think that more men need to hear that, and especially more Black men as well, because it's not something that's really highlighted in our community. I think it's talked about more now, but it's geared more towards women, and men need to know that it is okay to have a specific safe place to work through your journey with someone who's not related to you. And it's okay, and it's healthy, and it's positive and productive. And the outcomes are a healthier marriage, a healthier mental health, you know, a healthier life, and a more of an impact to whoever it is that you're serving and showing up for. And so I love that you talk about it so freely, because that's something that I definitely honor within you. And I was going to ask about, you know, your wife and her walking with you through this, because it's challenging to see someone you love struggle. And so do you all talk about that, and how do you navigate that?
We have to. I got to say something real quick, because I'm going to brag on my wife. But as you were talking, there is a difference between being a leader and being a loader. A leader will get the help that they need so that they can continue to be helped. A loader will take on all these problems and look like they're strong, but break under pressure. So write that down. Anyway.
That was a gold nugget, y'all. That was a gold nugget. Write it down. If you missed it, hit that 15-second rewind and listen again, because that was a gold nugget right there. And you're right, Chris. You know, you can have a broken table and make it look pretty with wrapping paper, but it's still a broken table. And you have to go in and work in the mess and fix it, whatever fix it means, right? And implement those strategies that are useful for healing to continue to walk your journey. So I absolutely love that. So I want to hear a little bit more about the encouragement that helped get you through dialysis and this new season of life and losing parts of your physical body, because you're in such a different place now, and the encouragement that you're able to offer has so much more depth and value to it and weight. And so talk to me about your encouragement journey.
It starts, of course, with my faith, but my wife has been amazing. I don't give her enough credit, because we talk a lot of junk to each other. And if I give her credit, she's going to try to take credit, and I don't have time for all of that, number one. Number two, she is my caretaker, as I am hers, but she had to be mine first. I used to do dialysis at home, and it was rough. She used to have to cannulate me or stick my arm where I had to have the port done at, and it was hard for her doing supplies. But I've given her reason to give up, and she never did, which really showed me as a pastor. I really started forgetting the love of God, and through her, I started seeing the love of God again. So it kept me encouraged. So now it doesn't matter what we go through. It could be a health challenge. We fight to be purpose driven, because if you know you have purpose, whatever God needs to do, He's going to do. And that's how we live. And from financial to health, now the encouragement is knowing that we have to do the will of, that God has a plan for us.
And everybody has come into the world with purpose, whether you recognize it or not, and whether you live it out or not, and whether you tap into it or not. And I love that you're doing it as a team. And, you know, once you tap into the reason why you were born, there is a fire that's lit inside of you to walk that out and to gift it to the world. So I absolutely love that. Absolutely love that. So talk to me a little bit about how your business and podcast has come about, because those are sort of new adventures that you all are on.
So I tried to sleep on it. And, you know, I told my wife the other day, I said, I got to stop trying to help you do what you got to do. And I got to do what I'm supposed to do. I've been working on, because I started writing, but I've been working on my book for over a year. The podcast, I've been wanting to do over a year, but I wanted to do it with my wife, but I know she's. But it's just time. We believe that God has given us something to add value to His people, and we can do it while living, loving, laughing, and learning. We can do it through this book. No More Glass Ceilings will be the name of the book, is the name of the book. It's based on my record, but there's so many nuggets and gems in there that will help people. And like I said, I'm developing as I'm developing, because I believe there's something I'm doing every day now. I can sit here and act like I'm the expert in the area, and I'm not an expert, but I've lived it. So I'm developing into that place where I know I have a gift to get people past procrastination.
Well, you are an expert and an authority on what you've lived and what you know, because you cannot be an authority and you cannot give someone else what you don't own, and you can't own it unless you've lived it. And that's what gives you the authority to be able to gift it to others. And so you have that. You are an expert in it. I love that.
We're commissioning Michelle right now to be our mentor. We're commissioning Michelle right now to make sure that she gives us, consultation, where she's going to be our consultant.
I do offer consultation services. Yes. And so that is available as per request. It's not something that I put out there. I mean, it's available, but
along with the legal information that you need, so you won't get slapped.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So Chris,
I had to off of myself real quick, cause you made me jitter. I don't like that. Go ahead.
What do you mean? I made you jitter.
Because I'm blessed by how you see me. And one of the places I'm transitioning to now is to, I'm fighting to make sure that people, that I'm, whatever God is showing people, that I'm able to deliver.
You know what I've learned on my road to success, and something that I use to encourage myself, and something that my executive consultant has said recently, is you keep walking, right? You keep doing what you're doing until proven otherwise. And so you can feel the imposter syndrome. You can feel whatever it is you feel, right? But it's not true until it's proven or there's evidence. So and listeners, you know, we've talked about your thoughts and your self-talk and your self-perception, and you don't have to accept every thought that comes to you, and every perception that you feel may not be true because you don't see yourself as others see you. And so when you show up in the world, sometimes the way that you are received is very different than how you perceive yourself. And the evidence is the evidence. And sometimes you have to accept that. And that's part of the journey of walking through different aspects to get to your success. And it's also a way to look back and encourage yourself as well, because if so-and-so sees this and there's evidence that backs it up, well, then maybe it's true and my perception is wrong. And accepting that is humbling, right? Because we like to think of ourselves in a certain way. But I think that's part of the process and the journey. So it's a good lesson to be reminded of.
Indeed. Indeed.
So Chris.
Yes.
As we start to sort of wind down the conversation, what are like one or two things that you really want the audience to take away from our conversation?
You don't have the right to quit. It's number one. If you're here for a reason, everybody is here for a reason. Everybody's here for a specific purpose. And you cannot die until that thing is done. I think that's one of the things that have kept me on my deathbed. And I've faced death three times since 2018. And one of the things that I heard, you can't die. And I don't belong. The enemy can't kill me. So until you finish what you're supposed to finish here on earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you can't die. That's number one. Was that quick?
That's a powerful number one. You cannot die. And the enemy doesn't have to always come from without. Sometimes the enemy is within. So yes, what's number two?
It's a journey. Take the journey. Take the journey. Make the mistakes. There's no such thing as failure, especially I believe it's in the Japanese language. They don't have a word for failure. So you take the journey and do what you can. Try to do something every day. Don't give up. Don't give up. And take the journey. Take the highs. Take the lows. When I recite this, you know, you and I are old enough to remember this. You take the good. You take the bad. You take the both. And there you have what? The facts of life.
The facts of life.
Well, you know, just take the journey.
I love it. I love it. Show up. And listeners, you know, I'm always saying show up. Just show up and keep walking, because whatever you need will eventually come into your path, or you will bump into it if you just keep walking. And I love what you said. You do not have permission to die until you have fulfilled your purpose, whatever that is, because even if you self-sabotage, sometimes that's part of the journey. That hashtag, that was part of my journey. And what I love about it though, is that your specific journey is going to help somebody. And that's why I'm so excited for your podcast with Lady Doreen to drop. It's called The Vibe. It will be on all podcast platforms and it's going to be incredible. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the podcast?
The podcast is just going to be what it is. It's a vibe. We're going to tackle subjects from being a little older and going back to school to being African-American in corporate America. To being adult parents, you know, because as grown as your children are, you know, just certain things and some of the things we dealt with in ministry. And it's going to be a vibe. We're not trying to bust on nobody. We're not trying to tear anybody down, but we want people to know that we understand that they're having this thing going on within them day to day, and we get it. And we just want to help you get over it.
And you are not alone. That is one thing I love in all of your Facebook lives that you do, because he's on Facebook, y'all. I'll put the link in the show notes. He does these lives that are so encouraging to just let you know that you're not alone. You're not walking life alone. And there are some days where he'll challenge you, you know, like he did a couple times in our conversation, like you don't have the right to quit. There are people waiting on you. You're responsible for your destiny, you know, so he'll give you some wisdom and drop it in, but he'll always leave you with encouragement. So I encourage you to follow him on Facebook. Like I said, I'll put the link in the show notes and check out the Vibe podcast as well as No Glass Ceilings on iTunes.
No More Glass Ceilings. It's on all digital media outlets, iTunes, Spotify,
Google Music,
Apple Music, all of it.
All of them. So go check it out. It's a great album. It really is. And Chris, you know, from someone who's known you since seventh grade, it has been a joy to have you on my podcast and to know you for all these years, to witness, not firsthand, because I haven't walked with you through the whole thing, because there were some years we didn't talk just because of life, but to be able to see then what it was, what it was, and what it is. It's such a joy and encouragement to me. I'm so glad to know you and be connected. I'm so excited for all of the things you got going on. You and Lady Doreen are such a perfect match made in heaven, and you bring such joy and encouragement to the world. Thank you for having the time and for coming on the show for my audience to be introduced to you and to begin to share the journey of living, laughing, loving, learning. I messed it up, but you'll get me straight. But to be introduced to you and all the things that you're doing.
Yes, ma'am. Living, loving, laughing, learning. That's what we do.
I love it. I love it. And listeners, as I always say, keep walking. Never, ever stop walking, because if you continue to walk, you will reach your destiny. You will reach your destination. You will fulfill your purpose if you just keep walking. And on the journey, I encourage you to always, always choose gratitude.
As you know, every single episode, I end with my encouragement for you to choose gratitude on your journey as you keep walking. But have you ever asked yourself, that's great, Michelle, but how do I do that? How do I implement gratitude? How do I choose gratitude? It's not easy living this life. And sometimes I don't feel very grateful. How do I incorporate gratitude into my daily life? Well, I've got you covered. Just for you, I have a Gateway to Gratitude mini course in the Successful Diligence School. There is a link in the show notes, as well as a coupon code just for podcast listeners, where you get 50% off. So head to the link in the show notes or successfuldiligence.com and click the school tab on the website. It will take you to the school and you can see the Gateway to Gratitude course, which walks you through how to implement gratitude into your daily life. Trust me, gratitude and gratefulness, when implemented effectively, will change your life.